it is. How you doing? How you living? How you being? It's your girl Nani, and you're listening to Power Talk. So welcome to season 1, episode 92, baby. Let's go. Today, I got a real good friend in the building, and I'm super excited for you guys to tune in. But before we get started, what I would like for you to do is this. One, make sure you turn off all your notifications, make sure you turn off all your distractions, and make sure you completely hone into this episode. Requirement number two, make sure you have a pen and paper handy. That way, you could go ahead and take notes. So while you're listening, go ahead and get those value bombs. Go ahead and take those gems. And most importantly, is requirement number three. Once you're done listening to this episode, once you're done taking your notes, what we want you to do is go ahead and take some action, because we all know that action leads to execution and execution leads to results. And that's what we want for you. We want you to get in power of who you are, in power of your brand, in power of your life. So make sure that you follow all the instructions and tune in. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. How you doing? How you living? How you being? It's your girl Nani, and I am coming to you live with another episode of Power Talk. I have a good friend on the call today named Mr. Travis Roser, right? Roser,
yeah.
Awesome. And just before we get started, Travis, I wanted to introduce to you who I am. My name is Nani. I am the fearless leader of Empower. Empower is an accountability virtual mastermind community where I help individuals get to the next level through accountability, routine, resources, results, and recharge. And I bring in big power players like yourself to tell a powerful story and just to really embark on the strategies that have caused success for you. So I'm super excited to have you here today. How you living?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm impressed. I was just telling you that I listened to a whole bunch of your episodes, and like, it's great. I mean, you've gotten such great guests. It's really impressive. I went down a whole rabbit hole of like listening to episodes and like,
that's awesome.
Just getting ready for today. So I'm impressed with what you're doing.
I love it because I'm super impressed with you as well. I love your story and I love what you're doing right now and the commitment to, you know, your new endeavor. For those of you guys that do not know, Travis is actually the co-founder of Kajabi. Was the co-founder. I believe you gave up you sold your stake.
Yeah, I think I'm still the co-founder, but yeah, I've sold my interest and moved on. But yeah, I did co-found it. Yeah.
Awesome. So for those of you guys that don't know what Kajabi is, Kajabi operates as a subscriber-based internet platform that enables users to charge a fee for customer video content. A lot of coaches know about it. It's basically where you can put your content in and start getting training material out there, courses. I've actually personally had a Kajabi. I'm a user of it. So it's awesome to have you on here. And I want to really just learn a little bit more about your journey. I know you're from a small central farm in California. You went to, you know, college, you were in software for over 10 years, but where did your passion for becoming an entrepreneur really come from? Were you around that growing up?
Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't. I grew up, like you said, in Central California. It's right in the middle of the state. If you look on the map, there's a place in the middle, and people that live there, we call it the other California because it's like farmland and it's not very many people. It's very slow life. In fact, it's the richest farmland in the United States. Trillions of dollars come out of that. It's called the Central Valley.
Cool.
And so I grew up there. My father was a teacher. My mom was a teacher. We had a small farm that we lived on, and my dad worked it as kind of a side job because he was a teacher and a football coach. But when it comes to becoming an entrepreneur, my parents were very, at the time I thought they were poor, but they were very middle class, but they lived paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And it always scared me as a kid because they always talked about it. And it was always this limited source of money. And then in my small town, I saw farmers. There's certain families that have been there for generations. So they're doing very well.
Yeah.
And I always saw those families. I'm like, what are they doing different? Like, how did they do that? But then my parents are always complaining and scared of money. And that was just a seed that was planted as a kid. And it almost became my mission to figure it out, kind of for them, but also for me, because I didn't want to live that way. So it just was planted. And as a kid, I tried everything you can think of, from selling oranges to mowing lawns. I even took oranges. I learned about supply and demand. And in the Central Valley, there's oranges everywhere. Yeah. So nobody wants to buy them. So I would drive to the coast, like Morro Bay or San Luis Obispo, and I would go to farmers markets and sell my oranges. And that was my first like good marketing pivot.
I love that. And I know that when you got into actually, you know, executing with wanting to start business ideas, you have a friend, his name's Kenny, and you guys will always meet up for lunch and just throw ideas at each other. In 2010 is when you really started a OC-based tech company. Mm-hmm. And you guys started throwing the idea of, man, what's the next thing for us? You started up a sprinkler, what was it, a PPC pipe? That was like a car wash for bikes. And that was one of the failures that you had. It was successful, but then you realized this is a lot of work and I don't want to do it. And that's where your Kajabi ideas started sprouting out. Can you tell us a little bit about that moment for you?
Yeah, that's right. The Kajabi idea came from, we had side hustles all the time. And I had worked here in Orange County in software since 1999, which is crazy because that's over 20 years now. I've been building software websites, but I hated being stuck in a cubicle. Like I hated that world, even though I had already made really good money. And I always was trying to make more than I saw my parents. That was the first goal before I figured out true entrepreneurship and actually growing businesses. And so we always had side hustles. And one of the side hustles we came up with was Kenny created this PVC pipe sprinkler that was basically a car wash for your kids' bikes. And you would just plug it into a hose and your kids would drive through it. And we thought, you know, let's show people how to build this thing. Well, actually, first we were going to manufacture them. So we went to Home Depot. We bought all the parts. We're going to put them in boxes. But I'm like, man, that is a lot of work. I do not want to do that. And we came up with the idea, well, let's teach them how to do it. And so that was where the idea was born, to shoot videos, get PDFs, upload it, put it on ClickBank and WordPress. It was so stressful that I remember like, wow, this is a crazy hard thing to do. And we're in technology. And that's kind of where the idea was. Every time when I see pain and struggle, I'm always trying to figure it out for myself. And when I started realizing we could build a platform around selling knowledge, that was in 2009 when the idea was born. But in 2010 is when it launched and eventually became a staple and even like almost like a pioneer in the marketing SaaS business. So I'm very proud of what we did and just grateful for all the people.
Definitely. You were one of the first, I would say training platforms now, because there's so many out there. There's Sierra, there's Lightspeed, and then you have Kajabi, which is one of the OGs. I love Kajabi in the sense of it got me started in the beginning. It was super user friendly, and I saw that all these big influencers were using it, and that's something that I kind of want to go into. You started this business completely bootstrapped, made it to hit seven figures, and not only for yourself, but you're really impacting people, right? You're helping businesses hit that seven figure marker, but you did it in a strategical way. And I thought that was like insane, because you hear about entrepreneurs going broke, or you hear about them struggle. You kind of had a safety net and you went for the kill. Can you speak about marketing in the front row? Because when you started up Kajabi, that was your strategy that you took force with. Mm-hmm. And I think that will really dive into some good networking tips. So we're in COVID-19. This is the time right now to kind of take advantage of learning marketing in the front row and learning how to really network so you get your name out there.
We definitely had a strategy that worked out extremely well. I think at the time we didn't know if it would, but it comes from a lot of things I saw in business. I hate that saying fake it till you make it, because then when you finally make it, you are fake. And I hate that.
As fuck.
Yeah, you are. And I've seen a lot of people that are successful, but they're fake. And because they have money, they have a little bit of power, and they just really shouldn't be in that position. I hate that. I always say, you wanna believe it until you achieve it. Because when you're that kind of person, and you've believed you can do it, it's super powerful. And so, I just had this vision of all these people we were gonna work with, and I remember journaling like, I want to work with Frank Kern, and I want to work with Jeff Walker, and Andy Jenkins, and John Reese, and We kind of were like, well, how could we meet them? And back then I had no connections. I knew everybody in corporate software, just other developers, other managers and stuff like that. And so back then I used Twitter. This is 2009. Andy Jenkins asked a question about his WordPress website. I chimed in and I was like, hey, I can help you. Because, you know, there's that saying, the more people you help, the more you're going to be successful. And that is so true, because it's not just, you know, going out there and promoting. You have to help people. It's like another cliche. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's both.
You know what? Clichés sound so cliche, right? But they sound cliche because they're the truth. Those little phrases are true.
Well, the problem is the cliche eventually has a cliche to it and people lose the truth.
Yeah.
But the cliche of it's not what you know, it's who you know, it's actually both. You need to be good at something, and you're good at something could be just being kind to other people. It doesn't mean I'm a great designer or I'm a great salesperson. It could be just like the way you're hustling on this podcast is so impressive. Like, you're bringing that value. And then you got to get to know a lot of people. You have to. You can't be on an island. And so back then, I was just like, who can I get to know? And so Annie Jenkins was the first one. I helped him with his WordPress blog. I did his branding, and I got a meeting to where we were going to talk. And we're like, all right, Andy, we have this idea. We want to build this platform. People can post their content instead of ordering DVDs through the mail. Let's build an online platform. And he's like, that's interesting. He wanted to do it all in WordPress. We were like, that's the problem, is WordPress is the current problem. We need a platform that's simple and stable. And he eventually agreed. And so we did his Video Boss course back in February 2010.
That's awesome.
And it was huge. Like, he made millions of dollars in a short period of time. It was my first time to see that behind the scenes, because I had heard about it, but I was like, that's not true. But then when I saw transactions going through, and within a couple hours, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then it's $1 million, I was like, wow, this is huge. And so that one connection eventually got us to Frank Kern, Brenda Burchard, Jeff Walker, John Reese.
And then it's just opening up the gates for success. And I love that.
Yeah, and it's really about, you got to over-deliver for these type of clients. Some people call it white glove service. You need to contact the people that may have the network you're hoping to get into, but you cannot sell them. You cannot say, pitch my product, be an affiliate. No, you need to solve their problem first and become trusted. And we did that with Andy. And then because Andy's launch went so well, and it was like, it was different, it was unique. He had hardly any refunds because people wanted to log in and see the content. His friends trusted us right away. And so, and I had been trying to network with Frank Kern forever. Like, I had tried all these tactics, sending him FedEx handwritten notes and like all these things of like, I could help you build this app. And then once we did that, I was like, all of a sudden this guy's our friend. And it's crazy when you deliver for people and you're honest and trustworthy, your network starts to grow.
Yeah.
So, and then all those customers made a bunch of money. I mean, because they already had big lists, this isn't like they weren't newbies. They promoted all over the place and sold like list control and outsource force and product launch formula. And they all did incredibly well. And at the bottom of all their pages, it said powered by Kajabi. And so people are like, what the heck is this? And so we created a huge whisper campaign where people were like, oh my God, I need to. And we had like a landing page that said launching soon, sign up to be first. And that was the beginning of a huge tidal wave that we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
That's awesome. So there's like a couple things I want to touch on.
Sure.
Obviously, you've come out with the idea of taking your knowledge and selling it to the people that need it and putting it in a software platform, right? Mm-hmm. During times of this quarantine and this pandemic, I feel like would be the perfect time for someone to hone into a skill and teach it and get it out there. How can someone increase their income using this software or using software in general?
Yeah, you know, I became fascinated with that concept because at first I was just trying to solve a problem we had. I just was like, wow, we should sell this thing, because it goes back to making money. I've always tried to figure out ways to make money, and I've always liked to enjoy what I'm doing. I like to help other people. I like to use my skill set. And that's where Kajabi was born. I didn't realize how powerful it was until December. So between October and December, we just ran the company. And we did a survey in December, like, well, what are you teaching? And we got results back that was mind-blowing. Like, people are teaching horse ballet or how to play the Irish drum or blacksmithing or how to pass Navy SEAL training.
That is so sick.
I know. And that was when I was like, holy crap, we created something that is like a movement for people.
Yeah.
And that was where I started realizing that everybody has knowledge. Everybody has something that they can share. And Kajabi allows anybody to do it now. Now, I'm realizing now that Kajabi is maybe not the first step. But back then, I realized this is people taking their knowledge and selling it. And so I had an opportunity to interview all the top customers. And I started breaking it down, like, what makes them different? What are they teaching? How are they teaching it? And so that's when my idea for the book that I wrote 2 years ago, You Inc., came out. And it was really helping someone, like someone listening to this or watching this, helping you go, okay, well, what could I teach? What could I do? And the concept is, you're the business. It's like Jay-Z used to say, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
And that's how we all have to think, is we are the business. When you start realizing you are the business, you change a lot of things. Like with this, you know, COVID thing, one of the first things people should have changed, and we have, is just lowering your expenses. Cause you're like, holy crap, a business would have to do the same thing, you know, lowering everything you can. But then the new thing a business has to do is, like, how can I generate revenue? And there are so many opportunities right now. I know it's hard and this is kind of scary, but for those of us that have been online, and even the fact that you're watching this or listening to this, you have a head start.
Yeah.
Is there's huge opportunity. I mean, there's so many businesses that are struggling that need a pivot, and maybe your creativity or your knowledge or your network can help them get out of it. And then you'll be doing the same thing I said. You help customers to where you become that expert in whatever it is. And it's crazy things. Like in the book, I talk about the four P's. This breaks down all of knowledge. There's your profession is the first P. And that's simple. That's obvious. I'm good at Excel. I'm an attorney. I'm a fitness trainer, whatever. There's a lot in that space. The next one is passion. This is something you pay money to do. Like, you love it. It's surfing. It's golf. It's flying drones. It's skiing. Whatever it is, you love it. Well, there's a lot of people that have made businesses teaching that or sharing knowledge with that. The last two are similar. It's pain and problems. Now, problems happen when you go through debt, or maybe you get a divorce. Like, you might become an expert on how to deal with that, because there's a lot of things to navigate when that happens to you. Or it's pain. It's something physical. You could have lost your voice, or maybe it's you became depressed through bankruptcy or divorce and you dealt with that pain. And that's where the power is. That's where you see people building businesses that they love, and it helps other people. And when you're able to create something that is actually filling your cup up financially and emotionally and spiritually, oh man, you can take over the world. Like, it's powerful.
I love that, because I was actually going to dive into your four P's, because I want to know, how can it impact someone that they're just starting out, right? They feel like they don't know what their profession really is, because when we talk about taking that knowledge, most people are like, well, I don't know if someone's going to want to learn that, or I don't know who I'm for. And your particular product, I'm kind of intrigued to understand, how did you understand what your dream client was? Because it kind of seems like this product is for everyone, you know, anyone that has some knowledge that wants to go ahead and take it and run with it. And particularly now in this space, it's coaches or influencers. But at the time, it seemed that you just made it, you know, for everybody. And usually hear the message, if you're for everybody, you're for nobody.
Oh, yeah.
But at this time, it's kind of like your product is something that can help the masses. So how does someone go ahead and pin it down to, man, this is my profession, man, this is my passion? Because I deal with a lot of clients that always are so confused with what they really know from what they really love to what they really want to do, and they don't know how to mesh it together.
Yes, I totally understand that. In fact, after selling Kajabi, I went through that myself. I was like, well, now what should I do?
Yeah.
Because I exited, but I didn't really get like FU retirement money. So I'm like, all right, I got to find a new thing to do.
Yeah.
And I went through the same thing. But here's the thing about Kajabi. It is for everybody. However, it's also targeted at one person. And that is the person that's trying to make a business out of knowledge. And so because we always made sure they were happy and successful, and we went to them, like we went to the Frank Kern, I went to the big people first, because I knew that they have a business around that, and they have followers that have a business around that. So if I can help him become successful, there's hundreds of thousands of people that will listen to him and realize, wow, I want to do what he's doing. So the way you use this for whatever your knowledge is going to be is I have so many formulas that I like create.
Yeah, I want to go over it. Anybody that's watching this, I'm going to go ahead and put the link in where mm-hmm. he can let you download one chapter, gives you a worksheet, and he goes mm-hmm. through the four P's, goes through a diagram, and goes through niche definition. So if you want me to share it, I can share it while we're on here, but
You could share that. In fact, as we're recording this, we're doing the whole the free book funnel because I want people to get my book like right now. And so if you go to uinkbook.com, you can get access to that. You can also do the thing Nani's talking about and get the free chapter. So
yeah, I just actually purchased the book myself. You sold me completely on that one chapter and then the diagram.
Oh, nice.
Oh my God, I'm excited to interview this guy. I want to learn so much more on the software end and even just learning about you now taking, it's kind of funny that you're a part of KBB. I'm a part of that community. I see creating masterminds. Isn't it funny that you had this idea with Kajabi, taking knowledge and putting it forward, and now you're a part of something that just kind of reinvented the wheel. And for me, I love shit like that because it just shows that you don't have to go ahead and create something new. You just got to see what, you know, is missing or see what you can reinvent. And now you're a part of it. Right. And now you're interested in it and you're doing your coaching. So I'm just loving learning more about you. And you speak about niching mm-hmm. and how can someone discover their knowledge niche?
Okay. Well, I talked about the four P's. That'll help you discover what you're good at. But you need to think, what do people always ask me for help? Like whether it's a computer thing or whether it's like budgeting, you need to start thinking about that. And it's things you take for granted. It's things you're like, well, nobody would want to know that. Well, you need to be open-minded and start actually just journaling. In my job, I was good at filing. I was good at making presentations. I was good at selling. I was good at shipping, whatever it is. You need to identify all those tasks. And then the next formula I always talk about is there needs to be a tribe of people. There has to be people out there that are interested. Like before this, I had a teleconference with my doctor and he's like, well, what should I do in knowledge? And I was like, well, why don't you teach other doctors how to do teleconferencing? He's like, they would want to know that. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cutting edge that you're doing this.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where can you go find doctors that are talking about this? So the first thing you need to do is find a tribe around that interest, whether it's drone flying, which there are people making money off of that, or calligraphy, or you know, how to fly a helicopter. There's this guy in LA that's been flying a helicopter all around and he's always on YouTube, and to watch the footage he's getting right now, like he flew over Disney the other day and I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And there's communities around every single topic. So if you can find that tribe, my first advice is just go in there, get to know people, do not sell anything, do not promote anything, do not just observe and be part of it. And then when you start to see something, like people ask questions that you know how to answer, or you know they're doing something wrong and you can help them, start doing that. Start building those relationships. Because what you don't realize is all of us are experts. That was part of the problem that Kajabi has, is convincing people that you're an expert. But the reality is you are an expert at being yourself. There's only one Travis, there's only one Nani. And we're good at being ourselves. At least we are in today because we work on being the best versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you can just own who you are, and we all have problems, we've all made mistakes, you realize you can really start to help people. So in that tribe, hopefully you're going to find a product opportunity. It doesn't always have to be courses. That's something that I have realized when I stepped away from Kajabi, because I was deep in the course world. I love it. I believe in it. I forged the platform forward, but it's hard to build a course. You're talking shooting videos and how do you outline and teach someone something, and Kajabi and Teachable and all the things out there make it easy to collect money. But it's like, as an entrepreneur, how do I get started? Well, what if you could work, like my new project is called Coach Snap.
Yeah.
And it's about helping someone one-on-one. So in that tribe, could you help someone one-on-one? Like my doctor could easily say, hey, I'm doing a workshop. It's $500. We'll be going to be on Zoom. I'm going to show you how to set up your teleconferencing. And boom, you're in the knowledge business right then and there. Yeah. Like KBB, Knowledge Business Blueprint, is all about doing masterminds. And it's crazy. I'm in that community now. And I didn't invent this thing. Like I was at a Tony Robbins event one time and my friend was watching Dean Graziosi speak. And he's like, Travis, these are all your ideas. I'm like, I didn't invent those ideas. I just watched what was happening. I mean, Tony has been around forever. So I literally just saw what was happening and created a product around that. And that's what you need to do. The last thing that you need to focus on is, will people pay you money? This is where people screw up.
Yeah.
They find a passion. They think they found a tribe. They think they found a product. But are people really going to pay you for that?
Yeah.
Like with my doctor, he kept struggling because he was like, I could teach people about what's going on with COVID. And I'm like, that's cool. You should do that. That's because you're a doctor. But where the money is important, because when you can turn this into a business, you're helping more people. And like a good example in the book is, there's a guy who's a painter in, I think he's in Canada. He paints houses. He's a contractor, and he's an expert in matching colors, like the gray and the whites and the blues, whatever. He's an expert. So what kind of knowledge business do you think he would be in? Like, most people would say he should do how-to videos on YouTube of how to paint match to make his brand. Well, there's no money in that. There literally is no money in that. He might get two extra clients. But the reality is that knowledge has made him good at his business. So he pivoted and he teaches other paint contractors how to do paint matching that improves their business. So now he can charge hundreds of dollars coaching them and teaching them. And he makes more money doing that now than he paints houses. And he can do it while it's snowing in Canada.
Like, yeah, virtually.
It's crazy how knowledge is universal. Like, I feel like we are such a global community right now. And we're obviously feeling it because it's happening at the same time. In every part of the world, we know things that other people don't know. And I think here we are, like in the Western world, where we know technology. We know how to do things. Like, we need to continue to connect with all of the world and help. Because not only are we helping the world, but there's money in it. And
yeah,
I'm a strong believer in, you need to focus on making money at what you do. This is no charity. You make a lot of money, you can do as many charities as you want.
Yeah.
It could be your own charity.
Your business is a perfect example of it. Kajabi is something where you help people create millions, and you also made a good amount on it. And you did something you love, and you're helping people. That's a prime example. And I think a lot of people confuse that sometimes, where they don't want to charge for their services, or they don't want to, you know, charge a over the head, or what they think that they're not worth. But people don't realize that people will appreciate it a lot more when they're taking a big investment, or they're, you know, buying your product at a cost that you firmly are putting the work into, and they're going to get the results. So it kind of leads into the question of, someone running a subscription-based model for their business, what are some tips for success? Because I know that that's what Kajabi is. Was it always that? Did you have struggles? I know I've heard on an interview where you said that there was a couple, you know, ways that you guys were playing with it at first, a dollar, or giving them free access, or just trying to capture that credit card. So what are some success tips for someone like myself that are trying to run a subscription-based model? How can they get more consumers? How can they have a successful, you know, processing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about two. I'll talk about the content creator or the movement creator, because that's definitely one bucket that's super important. Number one, I mean, this has been the rule in internet marketing. When people know you, they like you, and they trust you, they want to be involved. And I look at what you're doing, Nani, and you have a movement. Like, you have a solid movement with a mission, and you're helping people. Like, that's step one, is how is this thing helping them? And it could be something as simple as like a drone flying club where you learn new techniques. It doesn't have to always be, your movement could be the funnest thing ever. Like, that's the thing. If you took a deep breath right now and you were like, what could I do that I would love, but I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. That's probably the thing. Like, you need to write that down. It could be something so abstract. It's just crazy. But then you got to pull back and you have to think, how do I make this valuable? How do I make this a thing that people want to get every single month? And there's all kinds of strategies, whether it's pricing, maybe it's too expensive, maybe it's too cheap. Sometimes when you pay too little, my wife does women empowerment, and she does accountability groups, and she used to charge too little, and she found they never took it seriously. And when she charged more success. So focus on price. That's the first thing. The next thing is content. Like, your content has to have value, and it's not always a lot of content. It just has to have value. I think I've seen so many courses over the years and there's so much content and sometimes it's boring and sometimes the lighting sucks or the sound sucks. I mean, I'm here in my home like bunker, so this isn't as good as my office is, but it still works. So focus on this is something they want to be involved in. Like, think of the subscriptions you have, like Netflix, for example. I like Netflix because, especially lately, they just keep coming out with new stuff. Like, you have to constantly create new stuff if you're doing membership, or the value is so huge that there's no reason to leave. Like, I'll flip it now to us, Kajabi as a SaaS, software as a service. We needed to create a subscription, a membership basically, that they would never leave. And we could not figure out what it was that makes them not want to leave. And then it was like, well, making money is huge. And we found that if people made $1,000, they never left. And that's when the Kajabi Hero program was born. And the concept is if we can make them a hero at their business and we're with them, like I said, that's our focus is the content creator. They'll never leave. So how can you make your individual subscribers heroes or whatever the term is, like something that because they're connected with your membership, they have this thing, they belong, they have value, they're creating, they accomplished. It's all these things. Yeah, culture. Like, but here's the thing about pricing. I'll go back to our pricing struggle. As a software company, there's all kinds of strategies. There's freemiums where you get it for free, but then you pay, or maybe it's annual. I mean, we have gone all over the place, and eventually we learned, because we learned about SaaS as we were building it because we had never done it. There's something called lifetime value of a customer. Like, I'm saying it wrong, but basically every customer has value. And once you realize this customer is worth X number of dollars, that's when you start realizing, well, what could I charge that worked for them? Because when we gave Kajabi away for just free, they never stuck, ever. It was so low because they would log in once and leave. But when they had to put a little bit of skin, like even a dollar, we found more success. So that's my concept. I'm always focused on membership because that was kind of the idea at first, was to create a membership software. Like, I wanted to call it continuity something because I love the concept of continuity.
Yeah.
I've followed Russell forever, Russell Brunson, and he's always talked about that. And I used to always write that down. If someone could pay me $10 and then, you know, 10 people pay me. Like, Ryan Dice has the $1 million napkin where he took the whole thing and he wrote down, if someone pays me 10, 1,000 people pay me 10. Like, for example, if you have a product that's worth, let's say $997, $1,000, to become a millionaire, you only have to sell it to 1,000 people. Like, think about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I read that in .com Secrets with Russell Brunson. That's where I created my whole, culture and movement that I wanted. Because he said, if you have 100 people, you know, that's a guarantee, $1,000 if you're selling at a minimum. Now all you need is 1,000 people and then you get to your first million. And I don't think a lot of people think of it like that. I think a lot of people think you need over 200,000 fans. Oh, yes. You need this product. I think it's honestly coming up with the product that's of value, that's going to serve people, and that you could build 1,000 people, because I don't think it's about how fast you build it. I think it's more or less about how strong it is, right? You need a strong infrastructure, and most people don't think about that.
Well, and you got to focus on a niche that's relevant. You know, everybody wants to be Facebook. Everybody wants to create this unicorn. That is so foolish, because if you can target, like, there's a lady in the book that teaches you how to win an international photo competition. And her niche, her entire market is 1,000 people, where she's won this contest. She was a judge in the contest and she noticed people sucked in their entries. And she started offering help. Then she started charging. Then she created a course of what the steps were to win. And eventually she had like top 10 winners all the time. And she earned six figures from that. And that's how you do this. Like, focus on what your salary is right now. Or maybe you just lost your job. Could you make that much every month?
Yeah.
It's not as hard as you think it is.
And I think you had someone too that you talked about that he was teaching people how to text.
Yes.
And text that he got success. He made like 300,000 within like the first year of him starting, that he was just teaching people how to text. Yeah. I heard that and I'm like, what the hell? That's insane.
Well, like, here's the example. Like, it's crazy. Here's a guy who's just really good at texting girls. Like, he's called the Texting Prince. And years ago, he was like an elementary teacher and his buddies are like, oh my God, this girl wants to go on a date. What should I say? And he was so good at replying back that they would always go to him, and they're like, you need to teach this. And then eventually, you know, Tinder and things started happening and people needed to learn how to have a text game. And he just finally realized this has value. I should charge money. And you know, you can dip your toe in the water. You could try it with 10 people. Like my wife, she has a thing called Fearless Female, and she started with just one or two people. Like just start with a couple.
Yeah.
You don't have to have thousands of people. You just have to get reps. You got to get experience and get comfortable and realize that this works, because those are real case studies when you have one or two people.
Exactly. And you know, that's how I went about it with Empower. I originally started it off with 10 to 20 people. I didn't charge anything. I just wanted to prove that in 30 days I could help, in 60 days I could help, in 90 days I could help. Then I charged something very minimal just because, again, people invest in themselves. And then I built it up to where I have 53 paid members, and I'm slowly growing, slowly growing, slowly growing. And I think that most people take the concept of, I need to take and not give, give, give. And Russell Brunson at the time, that's, you know, whose book I was reading. And I just put that into my head, give, 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 yes. Give. People aren't, you know, paying for the product at the end of the day. They're really paying for the service and the culture behind it, yes, and the individual that's starting it. And I think people value themselves at such a low cost, and that's why they don't get those high results.
Yeah, for sure. Because everybody wants to hit a home run. They're like, I need to make 10 grand.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you just need to make one person trust you and to be that person. Like, that's why You Inc. is my total passion now. It's really focused on, if you could help one person, you're going to make it, because all of us know something better than someone else. I look at my kids, I have a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they're always playing, you know, Fortnite or Call of Duty, whatever. And whoever's better at whatever game, that's the expert, because, oh, Kyle, you passed this level. How did you do it? Well, he's now coaching Connor on how to do it. And
yeah,
that's how this starts, is just take what you know. Like I used to always joke, take what you know and turn it into dough. And you could do that right now. Like you could use Zoom right now and PayPal and start making money helping people with what you know, not selling shit. Not like, I hate that. Like I watch what's happening right now, and I'm seeing all the entrepreneurs with their opportunities come forward, and that's great. But that is not what people need right now. People need to learn and pivot and make this a catalyst for change. And sure, there's a lot of great opportunities, and some of them are going to be great for some people, but most people need to find what they're good at and what they love.
Yeah. And I kind of want to ask you, going into, you know, the software area, a lot of people, I've recently reached out and asked someone, you know, who knows a software developer, how to get started. My boyfriend has an awesome idea, and I told him that I was going to ask you this question. Yeah. And it's good, because like, I want to know too, for someone that's looking to get into creating a SaaS product, or just getting into the software game where they have a program that they want to get out there, what are some proper steps to take as you're trying to get questions answered, or as you're trying to build this product up? Is there any tips to success for that, or a roadmap, especially for someone like myself that have no idea on it, just going to ask people, how do you protect yourself? How do you really get it going? How do you put things in place?
Yes, I'm going to Google something right now, because I want to find my friend's book. This is a special journey for sure. What's it called? I don't remember what his book was called, but I'm going to try to say it. I'll give it to you later so you can say it in the show notes. But
yeah, no problem.
Basically, oh man, this is my passion, because I lived it. Like, building Kajabi was an idea, and luckily I could design it and create the UI, and Kenny could program it, and that's how we built it. But that's so rare to have that. And then when I sold Kajabi, the best programmers I knew, they all work at Kajabi. Like, everybody in this area within hundreds of miles, the best programmers are at that company. And God bless them. I love them all. They're amazing individuals. But here I am outside. And after about a year or so, I realized I want to build an app again. And so I'm in the same boat you're in, where I can an idea, but I don't know how to code. And I have gone through everything people say, like I have done, go to Upwork and hire someone. And I'm going to give you advice. It's going to save you a lot of money. So I did that. I hired a local company that had a great dev team and wasted all kinds of money, and they never built what I wanted. Then I tried partnering with friends I knew from technology, and they never were as interested in my ideas. So we never got anywhere. And I remember Dane Maxwell, I think is his name. I'm sorry, Dane, if you're listening to this, I'm having a total, total brain. Yes. Start from Zero, by Dane Maxwell. You got to read this book. Okay. Dane talks about this exact thing. How do you take an idea and you turn it into a product?
Yeah.
Now, what I'm building with Coach Snap, I eventually have been able to network with some of my old connections and I have a great team I've built, but this is my advice I would give. If you've never built an app, you read a book like Start From Zero, and here's what the book is basically about. Quick cliff notes is you've got your idea, you create a sales page explaining the idea, not selling someone to buy it, selling them on the idea. And that's what you start to test at first. In fact, Dane has examples of people selling software before they ever built it, which is a very cool concept. But the idea is don't spend any money on development. That can be a big waste of time. So, and keep your idea safe because nobody's going to steal your idea, but they're going to squash it. Like when we were building Kajabi, do you know how many people said, well, isn't that YouTube or isn't that iTunes? Like, and if I had been in a fragile state, I would have listened to them. Now I've learned that I keep my ideas very sacred for a long time until there's no way they can talk me out of it.
Yeah.
It's just, if I wake up the next day and I still have the idea, that's step one.
I'm the same way. I don't say anything until I'm sold on it
130%. Because they'll always find a way to talk you out of it. And you actually don't know if it's a great idea. I mean, there's things I would tell you that will help you, but man, the craziest things have worked. So you take that idea, you could sell it to people, but you could also make a full-on demo using apps like Figma. Figma is like a point and click to be able to design how it's going to look.
Yeah.
There's also one called Balsamic, and it's basically a UI wireframe tool. Pick one of those tools. Balsamic's probably easier. And if you can you lay out a demo of the concept? Because then once you can do that, you can then really show it to that target market. Like, and then if you're like, oh my God, I would totally pay for it. Like Dane's example is you go to businesses and you find their pain. And he has examples of people making like inventory software, boringest thing ever, but they found a way that if they put this and this and this app together and they made boring spreadsheet software and made six figures. So it doesn't have to be a unicorn. It doesn't always have to be sexy. It just has to be the thing that someone wants. And they talk about this in software. It's called MVP, minimal viable product. Once you have that demo, you need to somehow build some kind of working product, but it's got to be minimal, because if you sit there and engineer for a year and then you come out, you might be completely wrong. And that sucks.
Yeah.
Because it can cost a lot of money. So that's my biggest thing is build a demo that's just clickable, and it could be open PowerPoint and create boxes and just say, here's what it's going to do. You don't have to design this thing, but if you can explain it visually, that's step one. The next thing is, how could you build this demo? And an easy way is to try to find a partner. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to build Kajabi without Kenny, and he wouldn't have been able to build it without me. And because we were partners, equity partners, we didn't have to pay each other. It was just sweat equity. And if you can find a technical developer that loves your idea, they need to love your idea. You can't sell them on it.
Yeah.
That's huge. And for you, I would use LinkedIn. I would go through LinkedIn, see who you know, or if it's in a certain industry. Did you know at Kajabi, our first developers, we poached them?
Really?
Yeah, because the Oakley headquarters is right here. It's actually right down the street from my house.
Yeah.
And Oakley was using technology called Ruby on Rails. And we had heard they just shifted off of it. So there was like five developers that didn't want to work there anymore. And so I went to LinkedIn and I just recruited. I was like, hey, you want to come have lunch? And
we got
three developers during that time. And that's the best thing about LinkedIn is the concept that you can target someone and you might realize, oh my God, this person went to college with this friend.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're having coffee with that person explaining the idea. And they're like, I've had this same idea. And if you can find a technical person that can help you, that's huge. But that's my advice. I can talk to you offline too. I can give you all kinds of advice because I'm actually going to start using Coach Snap, my app, to do coaching like this where I can walk you through it. But we can talk after.
Yeah, no, definitely. I love that, man. And I know I don't have much longer with you, but I do want to wrap it up with asking my famous two questions. And okay. The first one is, how do you define success? I'm sure you've heard in the episodes with my podcast, I ask this, and I always say for me, success is always different when it's different seasons. It's never going to be the same thing. How would you define success for you? And how do you go about trying to accomplish it or achieve it?
Yeah. You know, this has been something I've had to deal with, and my wife and I go to a lot of Tony Robbins. So my two things, like my driving factors were certainty and significance. Like that was, I didn't realize it, but Kajabi had both. It had certainty because it made great income, and it had significance because I was the Kajabi guy and people recognized me, and that became my identity. That became what I thought success was. And then when I sold and that was gone, it devastated me. Like at a Tony Robbins event, they talk about this because when you lose your driving factors, that's when things like suicide creep in.
Yeah.
And so, and I've dealt with, as an entrepreneur, I deal with all kinds of dark depression because you're out here on the forefront and you're hitting arrows from the front. And sometimes you're getting arrows from the back.
Yeah.
And it can be hard. And through a lot of Tony events, I've tried to shift it. And the first thing is gratitude. This may sound so cheesy to some people in business, but trust me, it works. Gratitude is first. That's like the number one. And that can be just being grateful every single day. Like, I'm glad I woke up. I'm glad I have this. Because what will happen is your mindset will change, mm-hmm. and you will become a different person. And you might actually attract the people you need because you're in a grateful state. And that's very helpful. And the next one is love. Like the more I focus on love and loving other people, and I'm not saying like cheesy love or like, I'm talking about us as humans. What is the thing that we need to feel that good, peaceful feeling?
Yeah.
Like I want to feel that for myself, and I want to learn how to help other people feel that, because I've had huge success. I mean, I sold Kajabi. I made a lot of money, went on crazy trips. It was so fun. But it also was kind of empty because those two things were still my factor, certainty, significance. And whether I knew it or not, they were shifting. And so I've tried to shift to these two just during this time. Like you said, it's seasons. Like life changes so much. I mean, growing up on a farm, I saw seasons all the time. And I used to do these things called chalk talk videos where I would talk about things I learned. And one of them was farming. I mean, you want to be the farmer. You always want to be the farmer. You don't want to be the miner, you know, or the guy that's drilling. You want to be the person that planted the seed and is actually taking care of that, because one seed becomes thousands of seeds.
Yeah. You reap your harvest.
You reap it, and it may take a long time. Everything dies every winter. You have to be ready for that. I mean, that's a big factor.
Winter is coming, and winter came, right? It's the pandemic right now.
Oh my gosh, it did. You imagine like at like Christmas, or let's say even January, would we be in this situation?
Not even.
You would have thought you were crazy.
No. And you know, a little bit where you saw it in China and you're like, damn, that could possibly come over here.
I know.
That was a thought, right? But then the holidays come and you're so caught up in the holidays and everything that's going on that you don't think that. I got back from a cruise probably 3-4 weeks before they shut down the whole world. And to me, I was like, oh my God, like I was freaking out for a couple weeks and I'm like, I won't know. And it's just nuts to see that the whole, you know, the nation shut down and just to see the effects of it. And you know, at this point, I saw a meme that said, you know, what's really true? Turn everything off, right? Because you just don't know what's going on. You don't know it's
totally
true. They just threw out UFOs now. And to me, it's so mind-boggling because it's from 2-3 years ago, right? And they verified that there's more accurate information. That's cool. But who the hell cares about aliens right now? Like, what a distraction to throw at America.
It's crazy. Like, that's the thing is, instead of being like a deer in the headlights, like, holy shit, what just happened? Like, really stop and figure out what this means for your life, because it's catalyst for change, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Whether it's business. I mean, like, my kids play video games so much, they're bored of them. So we actually play board games now. Like, that part of this COVID thing has been awesome.
Yeah.
We actually stop and spend time doing things because we have nowhere to be. You can't go
anywhere.
Nothing
to do. Can't do anything. And
so you can build
it.
Your business at home right now. What else are you going
to
do?
Exactly. Take the time to do it. Take the time to embrace your family. Take the time to relax. Everyone's always talking about relaxing.
Yep.
hey, how about right now? Work a little bit and then take a little break. Everyone says they can't take breaks. Like right now is time to do everything that you normally don't do and not have a rush behind it. Cause what you're rushing for, you know what I mean? And anybody that's watching this, I'm not saying go sit your ass on your couch and watch Netflix all day and the whole nine. What I'm just saying is for most entrepreneurs that always go hard or individuals that are always putting pressure on themselves, take a little bit of pressure off, embrace the moment, complete some stillness and love on your family. And I love when you said love on people, because that's something that I've adapted in my life is to love on people. I volunteer a lot doing this. I love it because I'm loving on people. I'm impacting people. And you don't know how much it changes someone's day. So that leads to my next question for you. Last but not least, if you could have dinner with any legend, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh man, I probably have a couple. The first one is Steve Jobs. I would love to sit down with Steve and just hear, because like, you know, I've seen all the documentaries, but I love what he did because it changed everything, what he was able to do. I don't know who else. I feel like I have some other world leader that I'd want to see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll stay with Steve. That would be so valuable to talk to him.
And it's aligned with what you do and what you love. So
totally.
It's funny how now you are going back to originally your first passion, which is software. And now you're putting it mixed in with what you really want to do. And that's impact people. So I'm excited to learn more about Coach Snap. If you can, let everybody know where they can get more of you, what they should be following, how they could get access to the book, where they can find it.
Yeah, you can go to uinkbook.com and get a free copy of it, which is great. You can also check out coachsnap.com. That will be coming out in June. There'll be a really small beta we're going to test.
Cool.
And then I'm on social media. Yeah, you're in for sure.
Awesome. And yeah, go follow him at Travis Rosser. Am I saying your last name right?
Rosser, yeah.
Follow him on Travis Rosser on Instagram. He has a lot of content that he's putting out right now, and I loved it. I know that you guys will like it too. And then last but not least, if we could go ahead and take a picture with you, that way I could go and show off that we were with this legend.
Definitely.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. And I hope you have an amazing day. Boom.